Zenith Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland City Council Forum on Zenith Energy's Tar Sands Terminal, Monday, July 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the University of Portland Buckley Center in Portland. An oil terminal owned by Zenith Energy in Northwest Portland is under construction to nearly quadruple rail car loading capacity at what used to be an asphalt plant on the Willamette River. At the hearing, community organizations are preparing to speak out against Zenith and call on the Portland City Council to take action to stop Zenith in Portland. Again, that's the Portland City Council Forum on Zenith Energy's Tar Sands Terminal, Monday, July 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the University of Portland Buckley Center, 5000 North Willamette Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. I am your host, Michael Cathcart. Joining me, as always, is my good friend, Elliot Gilliland. Elliot.
Hey, third time.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So we're going to get right into it, but before we start our main discussion here, just want to put a little plug out there for our friends with Jobs with Justice. On Saturday, July 20th at Cider Riot at 807 Northeast Cooch. Just a few blocks away from the studio here, from 7 to 9 p.m., Jobs with Justice, the local chapter here in Portland, will be co-hosting a trivia night there. It'll be co-hosted with the station KBU that we are a part of right here. There'll be food, drinks, prizes, pinball, and more. It is ADA accessible. It's a $10 suggested donation per person, but no one will be turned away at the door. Visit their website at jwjpdx.org and fill out the form on their website there to get registered. You can register as an individual or as a team of three and up to five people, either three to five people there. There'll be food, drinks, and other services that'll be provided by the kind folks at Cider Riot, and they have some incredible ciders, so definitely check that out, as well as regular prizes. And all the donations plus 10% of the bar sales during the trivia night will benefit the Portland Jobs with Justice Education Fund. So it's a great cause. It's a great activity. I love trivia myself.
Yeah.
I love drinking. So, check it out. Go to their website. It's jwjpdx.org and get registered for that. All right. And now to the meat of our discussion. If you are a regular listener of this show, you know that we often do a segment called Amazon Watch, which basically just discusses the latest developments in the the overt exploitation of the workers by Jeff Bezos and his friends at Amazon. Today we're going to do a full-length edition of that. The full episode is going to be discussing that because, as some of you who are, you know, frequent online shoppers may be aware, today is Prime Day, Amazon Prime Day. It's today and tomorrow. It's a two-day event.
Yeah, they expanded it to 2 days, so you know... you know it's going to get even worse for those warehouse workers, but we'll get into it.
It couldn't be contained with 1 day. Jeffy B had to open it up to 2 days there.
Yep.
So, you know, Prime Day is, or, you know, the Prime, it'll be Prime Week soon, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's one of their largest, you know, along with Black Friday, it's one of their largest sales of the year, sale events of the year.
I think it passed Black Friday.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, so it's their biggest day.
I'd imagine
their biggest 2 days now.
Yeah, expanding it to 2 days is probably really going to increase that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amazon at this point is already the most valuable company on the planet. They're worth nearly $1 trillion, something like $810 billion. In 2018, they pulled in $233 billion in revenue, $11 billion in pre-tax profit. So that's, you know, just going straight back into their coffers.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they got a tax refund of $129 million. And along with that, they also received a government subsidies, various government subsidies of up to $1.5 billion. So they're rolling pretty large. And we know that they have rolled over a lot of other industries. I mean, famously, the bookstore industry and many other industries have been steamrolled and basically steamrolled into out of existence by them. So Amazon is not strapped for cash. They're not struggling. And in fact, they're growing and they're kind of a giant behemoth, a monopoly, if you will.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good place to start the discussion and how did we even get here, right?
Right.
So Amazon now is like one of the largest private employers in the entire world. It might be the largest, it's not, but it's one of the most large in the world. And I think they hit recently 600,000 employees. And again, it is one of the largest non-union employers in the United States. So I think that kind of helps set the stage for this discussion, because I think Amazon is really interesting to a lot of union activists, not only because of its like size and its reach, but because like the logistics industry in general is like very much largely non-union.
Right.
I'm pretty sure other than UPS, this isn't really an industry where, you know, union advocates have really broken through. So, you know, when Amazon does something like, you know, really commit to this Prime Day, and we'll kind of get into what the workers are doing, but it really opens up an opportunity for, you know, us to crack this vital industry and open the door for lots of other logistics companies, especially as, you know, the kind of model that Amazon is building, which they kind of took from Walmart and then they expanded, right?
Yeah.
So they're taking this model and, you know, this industry is going to continue to grow as others shrink. You know, we kind of touched on the last couple episodes about how the tech industry is shrinking the amount of jobs. Well, a lot of those people are most likely going to warehouse types logistical places because that is one of the growing places to go. So,
right. I mean, it's one of those fields that, you know, they're jobs that require very little of you to be able to get into it. There's a very low threshold to be able to get one of those, you know, fulfillment center warehouse jobs. And in an economy where largely you either have to have advanced skills, you know, whether that's in technology or other things that require an advanced degree, or you are kind of relegated to, you know, more of a blue collar job.
Yeah.
These things are increasingly what's available to you. And so folks largely, and we'll get into this later on, but, you know, you see not only is it, you know, what you typically think of as like a starter job for young people coming up, but it also largely is a job, maybe a finisher job or a job that people who are at the later end of their career are getting into because maybe they are still recovering from the financial collapse of a decade ago, or, you know, any number of other things happen, and this is sort of a job that they're able to get if they maybe hadn't gotten the advanced skills that that are required of most blue-collar jobs, and in fact, even some of the Amazon jobs that exist in Seattle and in those corporate offices.
Yeah, no, these are becoming lifelong jobs, and I think it can kind of take people off guard or maybe sound silly to say, but, you know, making some strides here I think is really similar to, like, the auto industry and also steel, you know, in the early like 1930s, or hopefully I'm getting my dates there right. But I think it can really sound silly because people just go, oh, it's Amazon, you know, I order my, you know, whatever, my toilet paper, you know, once a month. But this is a huge thing. And I think, you know, cancel Prime and all these different campaigns are super important, because the difference we can make in a lot of people's lives, just getting the knowledge out there, is really important.
Exactly. And it sort of speaks to the larger theme that I like to continue pushing on this show, which is that, you know, it's important for workers to see themselves, you know, if you don't own a business, if you are not in some, you know, if you're not an E-level or a C-level, you know, executive, you are probably closer to working class than you are to a, you know, temporarily disgraced millionaire or billionaire. And the, you know, increasingly, what is working class? What is blue-collar jobs? You know, it's not so much manufacturing. It's not so much working in a steel mill or anything like that. These days, it's largely service and logistics are the big, you know, customer service in all of its various forms, and this type of job. You know, basically working alongside robots and you know, working alongside the machines that will eventually replace you in that job tends to be what has always been the case for working class jobs. But now this is the new field that we're seeing it in. And so I think really kind of bringing the consciousness that was brought to previous working class jobs, you know, to the industries that have largely disappeared thanks to various trade deals and all that stuff, bringing that same consciousness that a steel worker or a auto worker would have had in the 1930s or 40s, and bringing that to this field, to these fields is something that we want to do on this show, and that I think that you'll see there's a lot of unions out there and activists and labor organizers that are trying to do the same.
Yeah, and I think that just the thing that continuously blows me away, and it's hard to compare back to earlier, you know, when companies weren't growing as fast, because, you know, it's just a different environment that we're in now. But it's the amount of growth that Amazon has had so quickly, right. I think is a lot of the reason why a lot of this stuff is not kind of more in the public eye. You know, you think about like UPS, which is an example I brought up earlier, but I mean, it took them like 100 years, right, to get like 500,000 employees. I think they're just shy of that currently. So, you know, to see Amazon get to this kind of unprecedented number so quickly is another reason why I think unions and also the government has had problems kind of keeping them in check.
Yeah.
Because they're just moving so incredibly quickly compared to what, you know, like our government and bureaucracy is used to dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, their name is sort of fortuitous in that. I mean, in the same way that we're losing acreage in the Amazon rainforest faster than anyone can really regulate against or deal with, and faster than the environment can handle, we're seeing Amazon spread like fire across all sectors of the economy. I mean, the narrative, I think, exists, and oftentimes in our culture, you know, the reality, consciousness, public consciousness tends to lag a little bit behind, like somewhere like a decade behind what reality is. And maybe it's increasing because of you know, the internet and everything. But the narrative out there is that Walmart is the big enemy, that Walmart is the biggest enemy of workers. And while that is still very true, that like they do not treat their workers well, they don't pay them well, they have used exploitative labor practices, it is increasingly actually becoming the case that now that Amazon is a bigger business, a more valuable company than they are, controls more of the economy, that they really are the new boogeyman. They're the new kingpin when it comes to exploiting workers and pushing the extreme management agenda.
And that's what makes Jeff Bezos the richest man in the world. Exactly. I think you brought some stats for some of that stuff.
I did indeed. Yeah, Bezos, I mean, he's now the richest man in the world. He personally, although this is information pre his recent divorce, although I don't think he's hurting too bad from it, but he is the richest man on the planet. He holds a estimated value of $132 billion. Which is more than, well, it's more than many countries.
Yeah.
So not only does he have that as his personal wealth, you know, but he also makes an income through being the CEO of Amazon, and for that he's compensated. Last year, 2018, he was compensated $1.68 million for, you know, the fine job he did as the CEO of Amazon.
Yeah.
And that just happens to be 59 times the median average employee Amazon employee's compensation. Which is kind of an insane number when you think about it.
Yeah, because I think when a lot of us think about an Amazon employee, we actually think about someone in Seattle at the headquarters in one of those domes.
Yeah.
But when in reality, you know, the majority of the workforce is warehouse-based and very low wage.
And we even saw, you know, with New York, the whole HQ2 thing that happened over the last, I guess that was already last year, but still, like, you know, that was billed as being a bunch of jobs moving into Queens City, or I forget where, Long Island City, I forget where it was moving, but somewhere in New York. But the reality is that wouldn't even have, that would not have even scratched the surface of how many employees they have on the, you know, the blue collar side, the warehouse side, probably even in the state of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we know all about Bezos himself. We've talked much about Amazon as a company. As of last year, in October of last year, Amazon did finally take the step to raise its the wage that its warehouse workers earn to $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Thanks in large part to the to Bernie Sanders and Ro Khanna and their Bezos Act, or Stop Bad Employers by Zeroing Out Subsidies Act, which would have taxed corporations for every single dollar that they pay low-wage workers, that their low-wage workers receive in government assistance. And so that, basically by putting the Bezos Act, putting his name on it, basically shamed Bezos into doing that, to taking that step. But what came with that is a cutting of bonuses and
a lot
of incentives, and then also...
And stock. I believe they had stock options previously if you stuck around long enough, which is hard to do because you are most likely going to get injured or something is going to happen to you on the job. So, you know, that difference, they crunched the math, they did the numbers, and it, you know, they thought, oh, this is better optics wise,
right?
And let's just switch it to $15 an hour and remove all of those other things. Yeah. And I think the, you know, that act was really interesting because that's literally, you know, contemporary modern capitalism. I think a lot of it is, hey, you know, the government is ineffective. Let's bring it into the private sector and fix it. When in reality, most of the time, what they're doing is they're getting government subsidies to then, you know, work on these really razor thin margins and do things, especially if it's non-tech. I think right now the margins that these companies are operating on are so razor thin.
That the true welfare queens.
Yeah, that they're literally they're putting a lot of it on the U.S. government to, you know, assist.
Yeah, which is like the narrative that we know Walmart has been accused of and has been guilty of for a long time. But, you know, they're not the only ones, as we were saying. Like, you know, Amazon is very much the same, and a lot of other companies do it that just aren't quite as successful or as profitable at it. But, yeah, so obviously that did help the warehouse workers, but they also are still being pushed at an insane pace. They have quotas that they're supposed to keep up with, and accounts from people who work inside the warehouse basically say that they can't even take the time to take proper bathroom breaks. They frequently have been, it's been reported that the management will park an ambulance or a couple of ambulances outside of these fulfillment centers rather than turn the AC on or rather than allow the pace of work to slow down. They think it's cheaper to just, you know, if someone passes out or gets injured on the job, you just send them to the hospital and then we replace them with someone else. So all of that leads to the new development that's happened with Amazon, that they, in the last couple months, have announced that...
April, yeah.
Yeah, so very recently.
Yeah.
That they will be extending their... will be shrinking the amount of time that it takes to get a package to you from what was previously 2 days, which seems insane considering how long it takes to move to travel anywhere.
Yeah, I forget the stat is, I think a quarter of U.S. adults have Prime or something like that.
Really?
I think was the stat I saw. So most people already know this, but for everyone who doesn't, you basically can subscribe. I think it's $125 or $120 a year. They raise the price for basically Amazon Prime, which enables a bunch of things for you. But one in particular is that 2-day shipping on all Amazon fulfilled orders. Most people probably know that. But basically in April, they announced that they're lowering that 2-day shipping to Prime members from 2 days to 1 day. And I believe there's some technical, like, kind of jargon in there in order to like what is actually 1 day can get a little bit confusing.
Is it 24 hours?
Go into it here, but I think that's really interesting because I think that's, you know, getting back to how Amazon got here, one of the reasons why they have so many fulfillment centers in so many places with so many employees is to meet that 2-day.
Right.
And I think that's a really big driver for a lot of people buying online where, you know, I could go get this thing, this piece of furniture from some other site, but then it's going to take 7 days to get to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been part of their strategy all along. And I think that's been a huge reason why they've grown so quickly just in sheer manpower.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely their MO is just undercut and the profits will come. And they wipe entire industries off the map, which, you know, works if your entire goal is just growth and profit. Mm-hmm. It's not great when you think about what that does to the workers or what that does to local economies in the areas that you move into and destroy.
It also puts a lot of low-wage warehouse workers in really expensive cities, right?
Exactly.
Like there are San Francisco fulfillment centers where, you know, these are still the wages, so...
Yeah, and so those workers are, you know, required to come to the facility that is very close or within the city in order to get those packages out to the people that are living in that city. But they often can't afford it. I mean, in the case of San Francisco, the case of Seattle, most every
Chicago,
major city. Even Portland to a degree. Like you cannot often on the wage that they're paying you at those places afford to live anywhere near where they are. And so you end up spending a lot. Not only do you have to spend, you know, sometimes like 12-hour days there, grueling days, and then, you know, there's been reports of making you clock off and then line up at a metal detector, all of you, your entire shift, in order to like go one by one to walk out to make sure you aren't stealing anything, which takes maybe an extra 30-45 minutes, but then you're going to sit in traffic or commuting, you know, however you do that, for up to maybe an hour, 2 hours to get home and then come right back the next day. So it's a stress that's put on the workers, and the wage is clearly not enough, and the working conditions are too demanding. In response to that, we have seen a lot of action. over the past, you know, there's been action for a long time, but it has been kind of reaching a fever pitch recently. It's been
and targeting these big days, right? It's the they targeted Black Friday, and now they're targeting Prime. So I think it's really smart to basically for anything to change here, it's gonna have to we're gonna have to show Amazon the power that the workforce has before anything really happens.
Yeah, and so today, the first day of Prime Day. And I hope that I'm pronouncing this right, but Shakopee, thank you. Yeah, Minnesota. That's a town just southwest of Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis. The warehouse workers at a facility there are going on strike. They went on strike all day today for 6 hours, two shifts. They walked out and went on strike to, I mean, for a number of reasons, all the things we've been listing, and on top of that, also. Opposed to the new one-day shipment because they say, you know, their claim, and I completely believe them because we've been just discussing it, but that it's going to put undue stress and make their jobs even more difficult and more dangerous for them to fulfill.
Yeah, I saw multiple quotes from Shakopee employees basically having been quoted as saying that they could barely keep up with the two-day shipping requests.
Right.
So what is a one-day kind of shipping request even really look like? So...
Yeah, I mean, there's a quote from Stuart Applebaum, who is a union representative in New York City who's helping to unionize Amazon workers there. And he was quoted as saying that with two-day Prime shipping, Amazon fulfillment workers currently face speeds of 200 to 300 orders per hour in a 12-hour shift. They struggle to maintain that pace. If Amazon plans to effectively double the speed, you know, cutting it from two-day to one-day, it must address existing workforce needs and ensure its workers are safe. Increasing fulfillment speeds means they need to hire more workers under more sustainable speeds that don't put workers' lives in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that makes perfect sense, because if you couple with the increased speed that they are requiring packages to be sent out with, you also, we have multiple examples over their history, including as recently as 2018, last year, that they set productivity quotas, so workers in those fulfillment centers, they have to work at a certain speed, they have to meet certain quotas, and if they don't, they'll be fired.
Yeah, and that's why I think, too, going back to the Minnesota Fulfillment Center, is they've been doing a ton of good work. So it's a majority Muslim community.
Right.
And they've been doing a ton of good work already getting Amazon to basically concede, like, time to pray and different things like that. So, you know, getting their foot in the door and then also doing this strike, it's really showing that a lot of these young people at these facilities are, you know, teaming up with their local communities and then also not being afraid to put their foot down on a lot of issues. So again, I think this is a hugely important industry, and making changes like this is just, I think it's going to bring so much attention, especially with Prime Day, seeing if there's a dent or anything in their results for the for the year. I think that's really going to bring a ton of attention to it.
Because this, I mean, I guarantee they bank so heavily on what happens today and tomorrow.
Of course, yeah.
And so coupled with these protests, there's a lot of solidarity actions happening. Not only are the folks in Minneapolis striking, but there are workers striking all across Europe. In Germany, over 2,000 workers at 7 Amazon sites went on strike today. The UK, there's walkouts all around the country. In Seattle, or from Seattle, rather, there's been a movement there at the headquarters to get Amazon, a movement of Amazon employees, a group called Amazon Employees for Climate Justice, has gotten 8,000 mostly white-collar workers to sign on to a petition urging Bezos and the Amazon board to dramatically shift the company's approach to climate change, largely doing things like asking them to phase out fossil fuels in their internal infrastructure and partnerships with oil and gas companies, and use its power and influence, which it has a ton of, to push governments, both local and national, to reduce carbon emissions. So those workers, they already took action in the headquarters, which seems even scarier, because you're right there with Bezos. But they, a number of them actually flew to Minneapolis today to walk on the picket line with these the lower wage workers. So there was that action. And then on top of that, you also had pilots, cargo pilots, who fly this this stuff around, you know, get it there in one day. They are they're basically raising concerns. They didn't go on strike, but they sent representatives to walk the picket line, and they've started a website, and they started an ad campaign pilotsdeservebetter.org, trying to raise awareness for how dangerous it is to increase the speed at which things are shipped and how dangerous it is for them and also logistically and everything else like that. And then on top of all of that, there is also a massive boycott movement that has sprung up. People are urged, and we urge you to do
that. Yeah, well, the thing I was going to jump in and say, too, is like I think it's really powerful, all the stuff that you just kind of went through. And I think a lot of these unions have been extremely forward-thinking in a lot of the asks that they've set to the basically their industries and the companies that they work for. But I think it's incredibly interesting that while, yes, there is this boycott movement, a majority of the unions have not come out and asked people not to buy anything.
Right.
They've really put the pressure on the companies. And I think they understand the value that Amazon brings. I don't think anyone can really, you know, say that Amazon isn't bringing anything to the table.
Of course.
It's just that I think we are both here to say you should probably not buy anything today or tomorrow on Amazon Prime.
Please, at the very least, don't cross the picket line today or
tomorrow. Yeah, the unions might not be asking you, but we will.
We
for
at Laborado are begging with you not to. And that includes, so not only is it Amazon and, you know, shopping online at Amazon, but the Amazon empire includes a number of other companies that you may not fully realize was part of their portfolio. If I can just find my notes on that. Let's see, where did I write all that down? Oh, here we go. Yeah. So it's Amazon, you know, the online store, as well as Amazon Prime, but they also own Whole Foods, Zappos, Twitch, so don't stream anything on Twitch, Kindle, you know, don't buy anything on Kindle, Audible, Prime Video, Goodreads, IMDb, weirdly, they own that. I did not realize. And, you know, there's a longer list, but maybe the most notable of them is AWS or Amazon Web Services.
Yep.
Which, you know, it's hard, if you use the internet at all, it's hard to avoid AWS. They run like something like 2/3 of all internet traffic runs through there.
Yeah, and most companies are in some sort of multi-cloud setup where they're, you know, they're using Azure and also at the same time AWS. So it's, maybe that one is too much.
It might be hard to boycott that. It's sort of it's Skynet a little bit. But the other ones, you know, don't shop at Whole Foods. Don't buy things from Zappos. Don't stream things on Twitch. Like, those things are easy to do for 2 days.
Yeah.
And you will be standing in solidarity with workers, not only in Minneapolis, not only around the country, but around the world. And, you know, there's just looking online today, there's a lot of exciting things that were happening with these protests. People were protesting outside of Amazon locations all around the country. And I think maybe one of the funniest things, or, you know, the most interesting thing that I saw, was a group in New York City called Empower Change. It's a group of U.S. Muslims working for grassroots change, and they had a march through the streets of New York City, and they marched right up to the building in which Jeff Bezos owns a $80 million apartment in New York City, and they attempted to enter the building carrying water bottles full of urine, foil blankets, and a petition with 270,000 signatures demanding that Amazon stop supporting ICE. The water bottles full of pee obviously signify all the workers that have been forced to miss breaks, and in fact, oftentimes the delivery workers do have to pee in bottles. It's been a big case that's been growing in the UK for that, or against that. The foil blankets, because they provide all kinds of strategic, like mission critical services to ICE, and so it's asking them to end support for ICE and the concentration camps that exist down there, and all around, actually. And then, of course, they're asking them to accept this petition to fully cut ties with Department of Homeland Security, which AWS is actually a part of. They do a lot of work for the
Pentagon. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. But as always, we are running up against the wall here, so we have... this is a discussion that we could probably go on for another couple hours with.
I think it's really just important for people to try to educate themselves. You know, if you're listening to Laborado, you most likely are already. But there have been so many articles today kind of browsing online and also on Twitter and all these different things of just like some really, really good writers out there who are bringing kind of attention to this really important topic. And I highly recommend that people go out and educate yourself. And, you know, I think it'll change your view on the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most people listening to this probably already know, but especially your friends and people like that, just bringing more awareness to this and, you know, maybe getting that one extra person to stop having their Prime membership is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, just spread the word, share it on social media, and just remember, don't cross the picket line, boycott Amazon and all of its subsidiaries for the next 2 days, and, you know, support your local low-wage worker. I am Michael Cathcart.
I'm Elliot Gilliland.
And this is Labor Radio. If you're interested in following up on this discussion, you can get at me on Twitter at Michael B. Kath. We can continue this, and we'll be back next month. Have a great night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Tune into KABU Wednesday, July 24th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the 21st Annual Homelessness Marathon. Broadcasting from a different city each year and airing on non-commercial radio stations coast to coast, this annual marathon features live reports, interviews with advocates and experts, and calls from listeners all over the country. This year's programming includes the voices of youth, students, and LGBTQ people, panels on fighting evictions, transitioning people back into housing, and ending homelessness now. That's the Homelessness Marathon, Wednesday, July 24th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes